Hi, Jamie Davis, the PodMedic here for the Medic Cast here in the Physio Control booth. We're here at EMS Today 2016, and we are going to be talking about something that those of you that have been following my show for a long time, you know I'm very passionate about: scene safety, situational awareness, and protecting ourselves when we're out on the street. And I've got something to tell you about here, and I've got Alex Walbrett and Ben Vernon here with me from San Diego Fire. And guys, you know, you guys had a really rough incident, but before we get into that, why don't we start with you, Ben? Just tell me a little bit about your background and what you do.
My name is Ben Vernon. I'm a firefighter paramedic for the city of San Diego. Been on the job 10 years now.
Okay. How about you, Alex?
Just a little behind him. 8 years with the fire department, a couple on the ambulance before that. And we're both now working at Station 4, which is a technical rescue station for our department.
All right. Excellent. So you guys had a dicey situation, for lack of a better word, you know, that you ran into. Would you like to describe what happened to the two of you?
Sure. June 24th, 2015, Alex and I and our crew responded to a basic medical aid at the trolley stop downtown, and we were dealing with an intoxicated male, and a bystander attacked us out of the blue and stabbed me twice. And Alex came to my rescue and tackled the guy to get him away from me, and he got stabbed 3 times. Mm. So we both ended up in the hospital on what was supposed to be a very mundane call.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they all are.
Right, yeah. They all are. But it went sideways very quickly, and then we got our butts kicked, if I can say that.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so yeah, that's what happened.
I mean, this is all an audience of other paramedics, EMTs,
all
and
right.
stuff. So
we got our butts kicked.
They're listening to this and probably wondering, there, but for the grace of God, you know, it could happen to any of us. So, you know, obviously we can't talk about a lot because I know there's some legal things still going on in the situation. But let's talk about the aftermath a little bit. How long did it take you guys to get back out there and get back out on the street?
Well, it's kind of a long but short story. So when you say aftermath and this effect, it's not just, hey, go heal up at home tonight
right.
and get back to work and everything's back to normal.
Right.
There's multiple layers in this, which neither of us were prepared for. And as much as you see patients and you're dealing with patients with these type of injuries, until it happens to you and kind of throws you off your entire game plan, your entire career plan, you don't realize how much it's actually involved. Initially, the physical healing.
Yeah.
It took me about a month and a half of packing my wounds every day.
Oh, wow.
Before my wounds were actually closed and I could start doing physical therapy, because I had so much muscular damage. Mm-hmm. Then took about another month and a half to 2 months until I had full range of mobility again. Getting close to that point, then it was I'm going to be going back to work soon. And even though I'd been dealing with some mental issues the whole time, that just kind of took it to a whole different level of now I'm going to be back in that same situation. You know, our department as a whole is very huge. We cover 325 square miles.
Wow.
But our district is small. We cover downtown. And our clientele is pretty predictable in what we're going to be usually dealing with every day. And the thought of that ramped that anxiety and the hypervigilance and PTSD, if you call it, to a whole new level.
Right.
Which then takes therapy and the proper, correct type of therapy, at which point I'll let Ben take over.
I healed physically much faster than he did. He broke a rib and punctured my lung.
Okay.
But even then, I was only in the hospital 2 days. They gave me a chest tube, reinflated my lung, and then pulled the tube and kicked me out the door. I was healed, I'd say, physically very quickly, within a week or two. But man, the mental aspect
wow.
and going back to work, the I'm nightmares, sure. the, you know, the cold sweats, the anger, mostly just the depression that I didn't defend him, that I didn't react fast enough, all of that played in my mind. And then the idea of going back to work and going back to the same place, the same people, you know, it took me a long time. It took me 4 months before I got back on an engine, and we were back together in 4 months after the incident.
And, you know, I think we need to underline for people, these are all completely normal reactions
right.
to this situation. You know, so often I think we have this feeling like we have to tough through. We're the ones that rescue other people, not the other way around, right? But we often need to remember that we need to sometimes seek that assistance as well.
Right.
And so, you know, kudos to you guys for taking care of that. How, when you did get back out on the street, what changes did you make? Did you do anything mentally in preparation for each scene as far as being more situationally aware? Or was there something that, you know, the way you conducted the scene size up and all that other stuff during the situation?
Yeah, so there is that hypervigilance. And you know, I guess you could say that's better for us, you know, to be more aware. But I was so vigilant, it was exhausting, like mentally exhausting. But I mean, every call, you know, if a door slammed behind me, I jumped. Anybody that would approach from the rear, because I got stabbed in the back. So anybody that came up behind me, I wasn't expecting it, you know, made me very uncomfortable. So yeah, definitely much, much more aware of our surroundings, almost to a fault. So we're getting better. I'm getting better. And sometimes, you know, I'll start really struggling with a call. If a patient starts getting argumentative or combative, I get very tense and uncomfortable. And Alex has stepped in again, saving me, but steps in and interacts with the patient if I'm starting to lose my cool. So we're, you know, we're healing together. We're coming together as a team and getting each other through all this.
It's good the two of you are able to get back together and work as a team again, because that unit, you know, the partners help each other and you can complement each other's response to the hypervigilance.
But I feel like there's only one person on this job right now who knows what I'm going through.
Right.
And so I'm glad to have him by my side to remind me something. Hey, man, you know, it's okay. We're good here. All right, thanks. So
I think a big point as well in changing afterwards, not a whole lot truly changed as far as our actions. So mentally, I know we were focused on different things. It's hard to focus on the patient because you're dealing with everything else. But we have a solid crew at work.
Yeah.
Our engineer and our captain, our crew together beforehand, I would put up against any other fire crew in the nation. We're very strong in what we do. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, obviously. But we function great as a team. We always were looking out for our best interest and our safety beforehand. And I don't think anything was different that day. We weren't not paying attention. You know, during the incident, Ben went to go help somebody else. I went to go help Ben. So we were looking for that. We had that situational awareness up. We were dealing with it. It was just, like we
said, once the incident happened, you were reacting, you responded to it, but there was really no way to predict
this
was going to happen.
Right. One of the best things that Ben brought up and has kind of dealt with over this is that we're there to help. On every call we go to, we're there to help. And this situation changed so quickly from being there to help and trying to deal with the situation and settle the situation to fighting for your life. There wasn't necessarily that time to kick over and be in defensive mode, to protect yourself, to be in that situation to where you're capable of doing that. And I know that goes for everybody across this nation. When you're there and you're trying to help and you're focusing on doing your job so much, even though you are aware of what's going on around you, you don't necessarily have that time to change and react to it quick enough. So back at work now, you do have little things that make you feel better. Our engineer's back is always to us, always looking the other direction.
Great.
And when you start to get that freak out moment of there's a lot of people around me right now, it's 2 a.m. on our busy street where all the bars are, and you turn around and see your engineer's back to you looking at the scene, you get that, okay, I can go back and focus on my patient now. So there are little things that have changed, but at the same point, we still work as that team. And without that, I think we both would have had a lot harder time coming back and getting back into that regular routine of things.
So sadly, you two aren't alone in these types of attacks or situations. Maybe the severity is different, but certainly we're getting data from FEMA and other resources out there that there are many more attacks on paramedics and EMTs than we would expect to see in a similar situation for firefighters or even police officers.
Right.
What is the, if you were doing a class on this and you had to teach, you know, one lesson to the people in the class, what would be that lesson you'd want to pass on?
So I actually I went to a psychologist because of the nightmares and the depression and the anger, and I said, you know, I feel bad being here because I only got stabbed twice, and you know, my partner got it 3 times. He got stabbed more than I did. You know, I shouldn't be here, and he laughed and he goes, you know, he goes, I'll have someone in here who's been stabbed 3 times, and he'll say, well, at least I didn't get stabbed 4 times, and I've had a guy who's been shot, and he goes, well, but I didn't lose a leg, and so I think what I realize is that everybody carries their pain and thinks, well, they don't have the right to complain because theirs their pain is not as bad as somebody else's. And I realize that now, that everybody carries their burden. Whether you don't have to get stabbed to
right.
to feel bad about losing a child or watching a, you know, someone drown or, you know, die in a horrible car accident. If you're carrying that, you know, immediately they go, well, but I didn't get stabbed, so I shouldn't feel bad about this. You know, I shouldn't be carrying this. I'm weak if I'm feeling bad. And so if I learned anything, it would be, you have the right to feel bad and to carry this pain, and you also have the right to get help and talk to someone and say, hey, help me offload this. And so if I could teach anybody that, it's, you know, you don't have to get stabbed, and then you don't have to get stabbed more times than anyone else to then say, okay, I need help.
Alex?
You know, my biggest starting point from this was actually from Ben. Ben was a lot stronger in this situation and looking for help and finding that correct help in order to deal with his issues. I wasn't. I think I'm lucky and both kind of cursed in that I am that kind of traditional stubborn firefighter. We go to help people. I don't want to have to ask other people mm-hmm. for help. I went to a psychologist, and she was very good at what she did, but did not help with my issues about getting back to work. And I've dealt with that a lot. Luckily, I have a very strong fiance who was willing to deal with it with me. It's changed my personality. And I wasn't strong enough to go and get the help that I truly needed for this. And I feel that an EMS, whether you're a paramedic, a firefighter, a volunteer, whatever level you are in this, we have to deal with our issues properly. For so long, everybody in our industry compartmentalizes their mm-hmm. issues. We deal with our calls and we go on. And we're lucky in that we have people at our station that we can vent to sometimes, but that's not properly dealing with it. In my case, I didn't have the nightmares about the incident, but this broke down that barrier of all the bad things I've seen and made that all possible now. So I was getting up at every noise that was outside thinking people were going to break in and hurt me and my fiance. Wow. And I didn't get help for that because I felt like I didn't need to, that I was able to deal with this on my own because I deal with everybody else's problems all day long. And even with Ben's urging every single day to go and see the right therapist and to get help, and there's people that can do this, I was stubborn and I didn't want to do it and I didn't do it. And looking back, I think it would have made a world of difference. So even if you think there's nothing that can be done, just check, just kind of drop your guard and go and do the right thing, because it's going to make a difference in the end.
Excellent. Well, I'm thankful, and I think the people of San Diego are thankful that you two are back on the job and that you've healed or in the process of healing in some ways. So thank you for what you do, and thank you for sharing with my audience here so that maybe somebody else is going to get that help that they need to get.
I hope so.
And for whatever the demons we're dealing with in this job, because we all have those things, those calls that still come back to us in situations that still return.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Great. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
All right. And I want to thank all of you for checking out this segment here, the MedicCast. We're here in the Physio Control booth at EMS Today 2016. We want to thank Physio for sponsoring us, being here, and making it possible for us to interview people like Ben and Alex. We'll be back with more segments on this channel, so make sure you check back soon for more of those segments.